Well, if you come into church when we're having coffee after the service, usually the children are running around. And from what I can see, they have this kind of combination between tag and hide and seek. And apart from the steps, which I kind of stopped them from, kind of try to stop them from using the steps, I kind of think this is a great building to play hide and seek. Anybody's children ever played hide and seek here? Probably a few of them. Yeah, there's a few of you who know about playing hide and seek. It's a great place to play hide and seek. And as we think about this encounter today, it seems to me there's a little bit of hiding and seeking going on. Zacchaeus is a really well-known story in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, it's one of the Sunday school favourites. There's a few verses, but in these few verses, we find out an awful lot about this man called Zacchaeus. We're told he's short in stature, he's rich, but also that he's nobody's friend. Now, that is partly because he collected taxes on behalf of the Roman authority. And so that would have ostracized him from the rest of his community. But also, tax collectors would usually collect more than the tax that was due, and they would keep the excess. So that made them kind of unpopular. And also, we read that Zacchaeus is not just a tax collector, but actually he's the chief tax collector, which means that he would have had men working under him and probably would have taken a cut of what they took as well. So we can see that he was probably despised by local people, hence the fact that they refer to him as a sinner. But Zac wanted to see Jesus badly. And he was unable to see Jesus above the crowd, particularly because he was so short. But also, it's unlikely because the crowds despised him, it's unlikely that he would have been able to push forward to the front of the queue. And so Zac did what many grown men often do in the middle of the day. This well-dressed, high-profile, wealthy man climbed a sycamore fig tree. He climbed the tree because he couldn't see. But the sycamore fig tree is known to have really big leafy branches. And so I wonder whether it was a great place for Zacchaeus to hide. To hide from the crowd that he knew despised him. But maybe he also wanted to hide himself away from Jesus. If he was in the tree, he could see Jesus from a distance without having to face the crowd in Jesus' presence that he had cheated along the years. But actually, we're told that Zacchaeus didn't just want to see Jesus. Actually, if he'd just wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus, he would have had a fantastic perch in the tree. Actually, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Knowing somebody and knowing who they are and simply seeing somebody are two very different things. If Zacchaeus truly wanted to see who Jesus is, then he's going to need to do something more. And it may be Jesus knew that that is what he wanted. Because as Jesus passes by the tree, he stops, he looks up, and not only does he call Zacchaeus down, but he calls him down by name. Jesus notices Zacchaeus. Jesus calls Zacchaeus down. Jesus uses Zacchaeus' name and wants to come to his house. Perhaps Zacchaeus is relieved that Jesus doesn't seem to despise him in the way that other people do. And so we're told that he gladly welcomes Jesus into his home. But of course, Zacchaeus isn't the only one who's surprised at what Jesus says and does, and surprised that Jesus invites himself into Zacchaeus' house. because we're told that the crowd muttered, they were shocked. Another version says that they grumbled as Jesus goes to dine in the house of somebody that they consider to be a sinner. Now, we're not told anything about Jesus's and Zacchaeus's conversation, but we do find out the impact of what happened with that encounter. Because we're told that after encountering Jesus, Zacchaeus gives half his possessions to the poor, and those that he's defrauded receive four times much back in repayment. In other words, Zacchaeus gives over and above what is required by law. He gives over and above more than anything he's ever taken from anybody. Somebody says, in essence, he bankrupts himself. And there's no way that he could go back to being the chief tax collector after doing this. Zacchaeus doesn't just step down from the tree. He actually steps out and away from the whole corrupt system that he's been part of and involved in. But as we think about these people in the encounter, Jesus and Zacchaeus and the crowd, I want to stop for a moment and give us the opportunity of asking ourselves, who is seeing who and who is seeing what are people seeing? Lots of people are seeing, but who is truly seeing in this encounter? Well, of course, we're in church, so we'd expect any answer to any question to be Jesus. And you'd be absolutely right if you said that. Because actually, Jesus sees the real Zacchaeus. He sees Zacchaeus's heart, a heart that truly wants to know who Jesus is. And having encountered Jesus, Zacchaeus does come to see who Jesus truly is. He comes to see in a much deeper sense, rather than simply just catching a glimpse of Jesus from the tree. And actually, that seeing changes the course of Zacchaeus' life, not just forever, but also for eternity. It's Jesus himself who declares, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." If you were here last week for a moment, I want to take us back to the encounter that we looked last week. Again, a man who was rich, a man who had a lot of wealth, a young man. You might remember that in that encounter last week, Jesus talked about how hard it was for the camel to go through the eye of a needle. And also talked about it in the same way that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter heaven. Remember that Jesus said humanly that it's impossible with men, but that all things are possible with God. Well, here is another rich man. But here we see the possibilities of his open heart and with God. Zacchaeus is able to let go of his riches because he's encountered who Jesus truly is. He has experienced salvation. He's been saved from his sin and consequences. He's got freedom from the power of sin. Only Jesus could deal with Zacchaeus' brokenness. Only Jesus could untangle the mess that Zacchaeus finds himself in. Only Jesus could offer Zacchaeus a new start. But I also want to say that Zacchaeus has a part to play. Because Zacchaeus is brave enough to quit his hiding. He's brave enough to even come down amongst the muttering and grumbling of the crowd. He's brave enough to let Jesus into his life. Zacchaeus encounters God's grace. And it's the power of that grace which opens up Zacchaeus' heart, not just to confess and turn from his sin, but also to kind of, we see this dramatic, gracious response. I want to say that this is repentance in its truest form, in its truest sense. Spiritual transformation in our hearts when we know that we've been given more than we deserve. We need to be clear, Zacchaeus isn't purchasing his salvation, but actually his excessive generosity comes from a place of that grace and a joyful response for all that he's received. Jesus came to do two things. He came to seek and to save the lost. And that is simply Zacchaeus' story summed up. He was lost, but now he's found. He was a sinner, but now he's saved. And actually, I want to say that Zacchaeus' story can be our story too. Because Jesus is still in the habit of coming to seek and to save the lost. Because if you continue to read on in Luke's gospel, you'll see that just a few days after this encounter, Jesus died on a cross for Zacchaeus' sin, for the sin of every person in that crowd in Jericho, but also my sin and yours. Paul says, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Perhaps you're here this morning because you're curious about Jesus. You want to know more about who Jesus is, but actually you want to keep Jesus at a distance, keep him at arm's length. Well, Jesus comes today through his Holy Spirit and offers not just a glimpse of himself, but offers a relationship with him, an opportunity to know him and be known by him. He wants to take our current relationship with God even deeper. And actually, our whole lives can be changed, just as Zacchaeus' life was changed, turned upside down, not just for now, but also for eternity. When we open our hearts to Jesus, not just as Lord, but also as Saviour. But what about that crowd? The crowd that seemed to have only seen Zacchaeus as a sinner and no more. You know, I'm sure that Zacchaeus receiving salvation, being called a son of Abraham, would have caused them to groan and moan and mutter even more. All the way through the encounters of this 6 weeks, the encounters that we've looked at, there have been people, crowds, who have grumbled and moaned at the way that Jesus treated others, potentially those who look to be on the outside. Actually, what we've seen time and time again is Jesus showing those people who seem to be on the outside his grace and love. And actually, Jesus says, if we are followers of Jesus, that is how we can be identified today. A community of irrationally loving, grace-filled disciples. So as we think about following Jesus, I want to ask us, how do we define people? Do we define them by boundaries? Do we decide whether somebody's in or somebody's out? And then do we seek to get people in terms of faith across the boundary, and then it doesn't really matter what happens once they're across that boundary? Or do we have a more centered approach? Do we have Jesus at the center And then actually, as individuals, we'll seek and continually kind of orientate ourselves towards Jesus and the centre. And we're trying to invite and help other people to move towards Jesus and the centre too. Some days, sometimes in Jesus' day, especially those religious leaders of Jesus' day, they worked hard to try and demonstrate that they were in by the things they did and said. Very often, Jesus said that they were outside of his kingdom. But then he seems to interact with those who seem to be outsiders and indicate that they actually might be in that kind of upside down kingdom. From the outside, Zacchaeus looked like a million miles away from God. But actually, Jesus sees him for who he is and says, "Today salvation has come to this house." I want to finish with this quote. It's going to come up on the screen, which C.S. Lewis said, and I want us to reflect for ourselves. The world does not consist of 100% Christians and 100% non-Christians. There are people who are slowly ceasing to be Christians who still call themselves by that name. But there are other people who are slowly becoming Christians, though they do not yet call themselves so. Those who are slowly ceasing to be Christians, those who are moving towards Jesus. Apparently, if you go to Australia, where there are dry lands often, you will see two ways of keeping cattle in. The first way is by a fence. The second way is by digging a well of water around them. So I want to leave us with that image. What a fantastic gift it would be if we go out today as Jesus' followers, utterly committed to keeping Jesus at the centre of our lives. And then there being no fences to keep other people out, but simply the beautiful life-giving water and wells of Jesus to be able to draw people into his presence. Do we operate with a boundary approach, or do we operate with a Jesus-centered approach for ourselves and others? So let's just be still for a moment and reflect on those images, reflect on the encounter that Zacchaeus had with Jesus, to think about where we are, but also think about our faith and how we connect with others. Let's just be still and reflect for a moment.